D-E-A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
Well, it is trifecta time on this Wednesday, and we have a friend to discuss for consideration. Let's welcome in Donovan Lewis of The Ticket, who always joins us for trifecta as the seventh Chief Justice on the Supreme Court. Hi, Donovan.
Are you guys okay after that massive fight last segment?
The Chet Holmgren fight?
Yeah, that's going to break up the hard line. I knew it. I knew it was going to happen.
Right when he was drafted.
Would you like to take a side?
Oh, I'm totally with Corby.
Okay.
Thank you.
He wasn't generational. That draft sucked. Ooh. Not saying he wouldn't have been a top five pick, but there was nothing.
If he was healthy,
after those
he was
first
the
two
one.
Picks in that draft.
No, no.
To even warrant anything.
I said he was a generational prospect. I didn't say that was a generational class.
Yeah, I didn't think that. I didn't think that either.
Ooh, Bob is mad.
I'm so mad right now. Okay.
Donovan's disconnected. He can't join us for trifecta anymore.
So we do have an even number, which is interesting. We have Michael and EA and Ham and Donovan and Corby and me. So everybody get your thinking caps out because we lost a friend of the ticket and a friend of Dallas's entire soccer scene as the great Gordon Jago. Died Saturday night at the age of 92. Now, it's difficult to sum up everything he was over his very impressive life. But in 2006, he was honored by Queen Elizabeth at the palace, Buckingham Palace, for a member of the Order of the British Empire. I believe it's one below being knighted, I think, but I'm not British, so I'm flying a little blind there. But
it's a huge honor.
He was so proud of that day. I remember several occasions where he was asked by someone to tell the story of meeting the Queen, and as a man born and raised and into his, probably 60s, Nah, at least at his first 50 years, he lived in England, and he thought meeting and being honored by the Queen of England was perhaps the highest thing he could ever accomplish. So how did he get there? Well, he got there as a professional soccer player in what has become the English Premier League, and he played about 12 or 13 seasons of professional soccer, including 9 seasons at Charlton Athletic, which is a club in London, and then went on to a long managerial career in England. And when I say that, about 15 years or so, most notably with Queen's Park Rangers in London and Millwall in London.
No, the Millwall incident.
Yes, Millwall was a place that had a fair amount of hooligan problems, and there was a time where there's a piece of footage out there somewhere where Gordon actually addresses the supporters and says to them the damage they're doing to the club by acting like they do, and we need you to change how you're handling things. Well, as you might expect, humans don't like to be told to do things, and so I forget exactly what motivated him. He wrote a great book that I never have fully dived into, because when you know somebody, you kind of feel like you know a lot of their stories. Now I'm inspired to do so. But he moved to America, and he had a chance with the Tampa Bay Rowdies in the North American Soccer League.
So, Donovan, back when the North American Soccer League became a thing, when we were little kids here in Dallas, and Dallas had the Dallas Tornado, were you aware of that at all?
No.
That Pele came to the United States to play soccer, that didn't move the needle for you at all?
You know what? I do remember hearing about Pele coming to the United States, but it didn't say, oh, where is he going? Let me check it out. Yeah. I didn't know anything about the league, but Pele definitely was top of my sports mind, but I was sports conscious about it.
Well, he was successful there, and people in Tampa were really into the Rowdies, like really. I think he told us they averaged 30,000 a game and as many as 60 for a couple special occasions. And then went back to QPR for a cup of coffee, but then back to the States to coach the Dallas Sidekicks between 1984 and was with the Sidekicks in some capacity until 1997, I believe.
Okay, so when that started cooking here, and there was really no soccer after the NASL folded and the Dallas Tornado were no longer, and indoor soccer became a thing, and all these indoor soccer places started popping up in all the suburbs, and people were playing all these league games, and then when you had an official professional league, it instantly, I couldn't believe it as a kid. It instantly became a big thing for Reunion Arena to have the Dallas Sidekicks. And I, in my head, in my little kid sports brain, I thought they were putting 15,000 in there every single night. And it was crazy in there. Like loud, and people would go nuts in there, and the whole families were going in there, and they were good and good fast. And this, of course, is when Tattoo became a household name in the DFW area. They had...
And nationwide, he would always be a SportsCenter highlight.
Yes. Yes, he was. So they had the most flamboyant player. They had this legendary coach. And Donnie, I know you graduated the same year I did. And the year before we graduated, the Dallas Sidekicks won the whatever... championship was called back then for indoor soccer. MISL.
That was huge. That would lead to sports cast at, you know, 10 o'clock.
Yes.
They go to sports. They were talking about that Sidekicks run. Yeah, I was into that one big time.
Yes. It was crazy how big it was. And Gordon was a legend around here.
Yeah.
Guiding that team to a championship.
Yeah. So they won one title here, or how many did they win?
I thought 87 is the one I remember.
Okay.
I think they won two. I think that's what I remember Norm saying Monday.
Okay.
You did. They won two.
What was the other year?
93.
Okay.
Okay. Well, he then went on, after done coaching, or maybe concurrently, he went on to create, I believe, but definitely shepherd along as its chief ambassador and decision maker, executive director, the whole bit, the Dallas Cup, which is the single biggest youth tournament in the world, at least it was for a long period of time. And everybody who's anybody in soccer came through town. David Beckham came through town. Wayne Rooney came through town. Even Akeem Olajuwon did. And we could list names forever and ever in world soccer.
Freddie Adu.
And they would all come. That's actually what got me to Dallas Cup, is to come see Freddie Adu play.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. That was, again, he was the Chet Holmgren of his office.
That was Highlands High School.
Like, he's going to play here? And so
I think that was on his I think that's how they introduced him.
Yes,
when he came out.
And so I got to know him through that and through various things he would do with either the Burn or FC Dallas, but he was always a presence, and he started showing up on bad radio every year to promote Dallas Cup. And we would, Dan especially was obsessed with Gordon Jago. We both really enjoyed him, but to Dan, it was a chance to talk hooligans and a chance to talk urine bombs. He would bring that up, I think, every year, because he read somewhere that in some country they throw balloons filled with urine.
Yes.
Whatever the case may be. But I remembered my favorite story of Dan and Gordon Jago is that Dan coached a little girls soccer team. And Gordon said, hey, I'd love to go out there and work with the girls, help teach them some skills. Dan's like, are you serious?
Dan knew nothing about soccer.
A Premier League manager wants to help these 5-year-old girls play soccer. And Dan was talking about this story. I wasn't there, but he was describing like 85-year-old Gordon Jago out there on the field with a ball or whatever, and he fell.
He bit it. I was there, Bob.
You were there?
Yeah. I was getting audio and helping put the montage together, whatever. And I was there when he ate it. Just got tripped up over the ball and just went face first. And everybody went, oh, my God. And he just sat up, kind of rubbed his head, like, I'm good, and kept right on going.
As an 85-year-old?
With blood trickling down his head and everything.
Oh, he was bleeding?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
No!
He, every time you would talk to him, he would talk about his health, and he would say, I'm in good health, and that's what matters, and it's not about your age, it's what your health level is, which, of course, is very true. And we got to know him really well, so much so that I went to dinner with Gordon and his wife probably 15 years ago. And, man, you want to talk about a dude who loved his wife. His wife, June, who he met because she was a London police officer while he was a player. And I forget the specifics, but she would keep him in line, and they were delightful together. Well, she passed away in 2014. And so now Gordon is, you know, approaching his mid-80s, and his lifelong bride has passed away. And so, I don't know, we would occasionally go to a soccer game together, and I said, you know what? You should come to London with us on one of our soccer trips. So in 2016, he went with me and my buddies to go see Premier League games to London. And so we're running around London with a guy who's, you know,
82.
82, 83 at the time, and he's going up and down the, you know, he's moving like a professional athlete, you know. They age better than us, believe it or not. And he was doing great, and we were having a great time, and we went to White Hart Lane where Tottenham was playing, and they were closing down White Hart Lane, and I'm next to Gordon at the match, and he's pointing out the place on the field where he, some 50 years beforehand, got a red card playing Tottenham for Charlton. And he described it as he was sent to an early bath, which I thought was funny that athletes would take baths after games or matches. Anyway, he was such a nice man, friend to everyone. I'm told he was in you know, reasonable health, slowing down because he was 92, but I believe he went out for dinner. I could be wrong. I just got this. Someone told me that he died peacefully in his sleep, and he lived an unbelievably great life and did so much for soccer in North America and in Dallas. And I think he deserves a spot of honor in the trifecta. So Gordon Jago, 92.
In. Donnie?
In. Big time.
Michael Dixon?
In.
Ian. Ham.
I guess.
All right. There you go.
Gordon Jago, ladies and gentlemen.
6 for 6. Who does he join, EA?
He joins Tom Rafferty and Andre Brower in room 505. So we closed the room out.
Andre Brower died?
Yeah.
Well, no. Like he died like in 2023.
Oh.
Yeah. We just got him in.
We had to wait till you were out to do him.
Yeah. Somebody took advantage of you being gone and got him in.
Damn, dude.
He just reeled his corpse in.
Okay. All right, Donnie. Thank you very much.
All right, fellas.
There he goes.
Bye, Donnie.
Donovan Lewis.